With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
Hey, man.
As well as Chris Payne.
Hello.
First up, I'm just going to dive right into it.
You know,
last week we talked about snacks. We wasted about 60 whole seconds about
that. That's okay.
That,
you know what?
Forget
actually,
that.
I'm going to waste a little bit of time,
right,
Joe.
Fine.
I just want to say that last week's episode of the Must Hear Music was, I think, one of the best we did yet. I hope to top it this week, but last week we talked about Kendrick Lamar and Jesse J and Elephant.
I think it was my favorite so
Perfume
far,
Genius.
Actually.
Check that out on iTunes.
Yeah, so
it's
on iTunes.
Guys.
Check it. Rate it, for God's sakes. you know, I'm not asking for 5 stars. I think 4 is a reasonable request, you know?
And so. People can subscribe to the podcast, 3. Too, can't they?
Yes.
Wow.
Can subscribe.
There's so many things you can do with the Must Hear Music podcast on iTunes.
It's
Why
remarkable.
Don't you check them out?
What he said. But so let's talk about some music. So first up, I want to talk about our good friend Tom York, that is.
Tom York.
The song we are, so as you probably heard, he released an entire new album, Out of the Blue, on BitTorrent. It came with this whole press release. The idea is that he wants to, I guess, use BitTorrent as a way to like take power away from the labels and put it in the hands of the artists and the consumers. You know, if BitTorrent is the best way to do that, I think that's a very debatable issue.
Yeah.
And we can debate that. But aside from that, it's totally worth noting that this album, there was over 400,000 downloads of it, which is incredible for, I mean, any album. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think what was the biggest debut week this year? Oh, this is something I should have looked up ahead of time.
I think it's still Coldplay. But Taylor Swift is going to pass Coldplay. I mean, here's the thing about, and other people have written about this, and we won't spend too much time on this, but the thing is, like, when Tom York says that he's trying to take the power away from labels and, like, get it into the hands of, you know, the artists and the little people, the thing is, like, Tom York is a famous person, and, like,
right.
He got famous through the major label system, and if just a random guy was like, hey, here's my album, it's on BitTorrent,
right.
Like, no one would download it. Like, you need, it's great that, you know, he's trying something different, but, like, come on.
You need to get to, like, a point of a certain fame where people will even care.
Exactly,
that
yeah.
That you release, like, a surprise album. If you're not Beyonce, is just a free album, you know, an album.
It's just
that no
a Michael Cera album,
exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with that. But talking about the music, the album is great. I would say, you know, very similar to his first solo album in that it's synthetic type pop, but it's a little chillier, a little more retro. The track I chose to focus on is the first one, Brain in a Bottle, which just has some really, like, great things going on. There's, like, a warbling synth line that sounds like it's from, like, a 50s sci-fi movie. The beat sounds like it's kind of tripping over itself. There's another synth that's kind of like the screeching bird. And the whole thing has a very Eno feel. I mean, it's very Brian Eno indebted, but the whole electronic music scene is. But I think the nice thing about it is that it has this, like, weird kind of cool to it that still is, like, catchy and makes you want to move, and he pulls off that trick nicely. So, you know, is this game-changing stuff? No, but it's good.
Yeah, I don't. I really wasn't feeling this one. Ooh. And like, uh-oh. as far as York's output goes, my favorite full length is Kid A, and I feel like Radiohead and York have very much been mining that territory ever since Kid A, with like these skittering electronic beats and weird distorted high vocals over them. And I mean, it's fine. It's like, it's in a vacuum, it's an interesting track, but I think that, I mean, since King of Limbs, the last, it sounds kind of like that to me. And I feel like for them, they're just sort of like mining the same territory, and it doesn't seem very different to me.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I am warming up to this album. As you said, it is a very chilly album as of right now. I really like The Eraser, his first album, his first solo album under his own name that came out in 2006. I think that really was exactly what he wanted it to be, which was an outlet for him to do something outside of Radiohead, make it a little bit more personal, make it just, I mean, let's be real, like, a Thom Yorke solo album and something like The Eraser and In Rainbows don't sound too dissimilar. Like, you know, it's just the title. But at the same time, it was a more personal album. It made him kind of think about things differently and see things in a different viewpoint as opposed to working with four other artists. I think that this song and this album are going to take a little bit more time to get into. We've had it for about 4 days now, and I'm still listening to it. I'm still exploring it. I'm just kind of happy that Thom Yorke has a new solo album out. Like, that's great. Like, I even if it's not quite as good as the last solo album or doesn't really sit on the same shelf as Radiohead albums, I'm a huge Radiohead fan, and I'm happy when more Radiohead music or more Thom Yorke music exists.
And I think you got to give it props that it is just $6. And I mean, I know that maybe that shouldn't come into a discussion of the quality of the music.
Hey,
the
I bought it for $6.
You know, it's a full album, and it's a very reasonably priced $6. So maybe that lowered my expectations, but you know, I stand by
it's
my.
It's already like 33% off. If we were to go into Target and buy it off like the new CD rack first
right.
week, so
it's yeah. already on the clearance rack.
On Friday, I was like, I have $6 that I could spend for like a footlong sub at Subway, or I could buy this new Thom Yorke album. And guess what I did, Joe?
You made the choice.
I
that's
went
gonna
to
stick
Subway.
With you in the
no,
long run.
I bought the Thom Yorke album.
I think his next album will come out maybe as a Google Doc. Or maybe it'll be released in like a Dropbox folder. I don't know.
Can we
right,
just
a Twitter?
But it'll just have weird electronic beats and high pitched distorted vocals.
I know we're talking about A Brain in a Bottle, but is there anything better than the song called "There Is No Ice" (parentheses for my drink)? Like, come on,
Is that really one of the best
yes, yes,
song
it
titles?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the song titles are.
They're
it's
great.
Worth
the
price
I mean, it's called Tomorrow's Modern Boxes. Like,
which is, yeah.
It's fine. Remember we were talking about Blue Planet Eyes by the Preachers 2 weeks ago? Now this blows it right away.
Yeah. I think this is a weirder, goofier album title. Yeah.
Well, let's listen to some.
But yeah, let's listen to Thom Yorke, Brain in a Bottle. That was Thom Yorke, Brain in a Bottle. Next up, let's talk about the new One Direction song,
yes.
Steal My Girl, which, as the internet has rightly pointed out, is kind of more like Steal Your Song, because the piano riff is dangerously close to a Newfound Glory song from 2006, which I don't.
No one remembers.
To be fair enough,
song.
Yeah, no one remembers.
Unless I saw like alternative press post it, and like they remember it, but
yeah, but no both of the Newfound Glory song.
Newfound Glory remembers that song.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the whole thing was that Hayley Williams tweeted about it. That's what got everybody to listen to it.
Right.
But I like imagining. Like One Direction and all of their Swedish songwriters like sitting around in a room listening to Newfound Glory deep cuts and being like, yeah, this is what we're gonna do now. Like, everyone loves Newfound Glory deep
cuts. This album went so well.
So yeah, I mean, the whole thing is that like, Yeah, it's derivative. But like, so is most pop music. I don't know. Like, I don't really see the problem with that. I wrote about
different to be derivative or to take the exact same
come
piano.
Come on,
line.
It's not the exact
it's
same.
Pretty close.
Well, I can't agree with that. I think that it's like different than. Remember Joe Satriani
and the Coldplay
Coldplay. Yeah. Like that was basically like the same, but like. This, you know, it's a Newfound Glory deep cut, and it's that, like, the piano riff sounds a little similar. It's just, like, a big ham-fisted piano riff. Like, yes. it could be any, like, it's not surprising to me at all that it sounds like another big ham-fisted piano
someone
riff.
Someone pointed out it sounds exactly like Journey's Faithless.
Yes. Yeah.
Which makes so much sense because you listen to this, and this is clearly crafted for a stadium, like,
yes.
Although it's a slower kind of mature, you know, quote unquote mature sound for them, there's still hand claps, there's still stomping. Like, this is designed for fans to be singing along during a massive tour.
I mean, I wrote about this song a lot over the past day, and you know, they, since Midnight Memories, their last album, they've just been making rock music, or, you know, like folk and power pop, or other, you know, delineations of rock. I think that this is actually the best one. I think that this is their best single since Kiss You or What Makes You Beautiful, I guess. Just into, like, I've listened to this song like 15 times in the past 24 hours. I love this song. It's so dumb and big, but like, so is a lot of great, like, hair metal singles. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't. You can't really read too much into this song. Like, it's. You know, the chorus is so stupid. It's like there's a couple billion people in the whole wide world, but this girl belongs to me. Like, it's really dumb, but it's great. It's like, sometimes you just need a big blockbuster single, and I'm very happy with this song.
So wait, what do you like particularly about the song? If you're kind of like poo-pooing the lyrics and that it's derivative, what is good about it?
I think it's just a great like power pop anthem. Like, it's just very, it's so catchy, it's so fun to listen to. Like, it gets stuck in your head. It's just so enjoyable. It's slickly produced and really fun to sing along to. Like, I don't know. It's just a really fun One Direction song. Like, the same thing. I love What Makes You Beautiful. I remember I heard that song for the first time, and One Direction was still kind of building their army of supporters. And I was like, oh, shit, this song is going to be massive because it's great. It's a great pop song. And I feel like this is just the same thing, but it's just like a great classic rock song.
I mean, I actually agree with you for the most part. I like the song, despite the similarities to existing material.
To Newfound Glory.
but part of me wonders, with this, as they kind of mature and become just more regular adult pop rock, like, at what point am I going to be like, why am I even listening to a boy band doing this? Like, the whole reason I went to One Direction in the first place was that it was refreshing to have a boy band back on the scene.
Yeah.
Like, that was just a sound that wasn't anywhere 3 years ago. And if they're getting away from that into, you know, Mumford territory or Coldplay territory.
Well, they're already
there. There was Mumford territory.
And
on that
at what
album.
Point are we like, there. Well, why are we listening to this? Why aren't we just listening to the band to actually play their instruments and write this stuff themselves?
Well, it's the whole question of like authenticity. Like, how much does it bother you that one dude from One Direction is parading around with a guitar and the rest of them are just kind of like headbanging and clapping? I mean, that's the whole thing. It doesn't really bother me, like, because I think the songs are good.
It bothers me less if they're doing boy band stuff, but I'm just saying, if they're doing
if
adult
they're doing
music,
like pop and
why
lock
are we
moves.
Why are we, but anyways, let's listen to it. The song is One Direction,
Steal My Girl.
Steal My Girl. And it sounds like a Journey song and a Newfound Glory song. But look it up on the internet. Make your own choice. Here it is. All right, that was One Direction's Steal My Girl.
You know, I gotta say, before we move on, I just hope this it spikes interest in Newfound Glory. What if, like, Newfound Glory has a huge comeback because one of their old singles has like a little One Direction comparison. I'm all for it. They have a new album coming out. Come on.
They do have a new album.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Probably good for them.
They're like, all right, yeah. Fine, what else?
But anyway, so moving on, let's talk about Gerard Way released his solo album. The album is called Hesitant Alien. The song is called No Shows. Before I toss it to Chris, because this is his pick, I just want to say I love this song. There's like a really cool like T-Rex fuzziness to the rock, but it's, you know, even though it's rock, like he kind of holds back. It's not as, you know, balls out as My Chemical Romance. It's a little more lush. It's a little more laid back, but I think this suits him really well. Chris, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, this track that we the video dropped about a month and a half ago or so, and I was just so surprised because I knew that My Chemical Romance had broken up, and I knew he was making new music. But this sounds nothing like My Chemical Romance. And, you know, the album dropped today, so anyone who's heard us really a second of it is saying that, oh, it doesn't sound like My Chemical Romance. Yeah. So that's really interesting. But as you were touching on, Joe, he's been saying impressed that he's all about shoegaze and British rock music now, and it's like the song is really catchy and it has a good hook, but the vocals are mixed kind of on the same level as the guitars in the outro. They sort of meld together. It's catchy, but it's also sort of tipping its hat to very different mixing studio techniques that you really don't hear in pop or rock music right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you guys said, and I think that this kind of reminds me of Patrick Stump's solo album in a good way, which I really enjoyed, Soul Punk, in just a complete departure. When people heard that album, they were like, oh, this doesn't sound like Fall Out Boy. And it's like, well, yeah, no, it's not Fall Out Boy in the same way that like this Gerard Way album is not My Chemical Romance. And you know, this song is really fun. It's not quite, you know, at the same level as some of My Chem's best singles. It's not quite as, like, one of the things I really liked about My Chemical Romance was how epic they could be, mm-hmm. On the right times. And this isn't exactly epic, but it's really fun. It's really sticky. And I got to explore this album more. I haven't heard too much from it, but I'm definitely interested in it.
Yeah, one thing that just reminded me of, which I haven't thought of probably since it came out, but when Green Day had that new wave side project, The Network.
Oh yeah,
I think that was 10 years ago. They had an album, Money Money 2020.
Yeah, good memory.
And it was good, but you know that really felt, and that almost reminded me of kind of what this is. But while that was definitely this like throwaway side project where they were just goofing around, like it's very clear that Gerard Way, like, this isn't just like, I mean, you know, maybe he'll switch up styles after this album, but this isn't like a lark or a goof. Like, he really, like, seems kind of like creatively reborn on this. He sounds revitalized in a way that, at least when I saw like My Chemical Romance during their last year being live together, it seemed like he was getting a little tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you compared it to the Patrick Stump solo album, Jason. And you're right. I hope Way does well with this album, because as you know, that Stump solo album, you liked it, but it flopped really hard.
That is true.
Fall Out Boy. And I mean, Way has a very strong fan base who's followed him since My Chemical Romance, but I'm very curious of how they'll take to this new style, because the album's gotten good press. But aside from that, I'm rooting for him, but I'm not sure where it'll go.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if like rock radio kind of gravitates toward this album. Yeah, we'll see.
All right, well, let's give it a listen. That's Gerard Way, No Shows. All right, that was Gerard Way, No Shows. Next up, let's talk about, what do we got? Let's talk about Lorde. We have Yellow Flicker Beat. This is from the Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack. And, you know, let's just plug Billboard's 21 Under 21 list.
Hey-o!
So Billboard topped that list. We're just saying she's basically the coolest is what we're saying with that.
She beat out Justin Bieber.
She beat the Biebs.
Swaggy. Biebs. She's very swaggy.
Anyway, so this is, as you would expect for something that goes with the Hunger Games franchise, this is a very paranoid-sounding song. There's the synths in it kind of almost sound like warnings or sirens or something. It's slow-moving, but very somehow catchy and insistent. It's what we've heard from Lorde before. This isn't exactly new territory, but I think she's bringing kind of a great sensibility to the Hunger Games that I would say in past soundtrack songs were kind of lacking. Like, I liked the Taylor Swift song, but it didn't really fit the franchise, and the Coldplay song
totally
didn't
agree.
Really fit the franchise either. So to me, this is the first time they've really grabbed someone who like totally makes sense for the movies.
Shout out to that Taylor Swift song, Safe and Sound with the Civil War. That song is incredible, but yeah, it doesn't really make sense on like a soundtrack song. Yeah. It's not a dazzling song from Lorde. Lorde's Pure Heroine was my favorite album of last year, and I think that this is a little bit of a step down, but it's also like a stopgap. And the thing about Lorde is that no matter what you think of the production of, you know, the song itself and the melody, she's always going to bring it in terms of the writing. Like, I'm just reading the lyrics now. Like, the song opens with just great lines. Like, I'm a princess cut from marble, smoother than a storm, and the scars that mark my body, they're silver and gold. My blood is a flood of rubies, precious stones. It keeps my veins hot. The fires find a home in me.
Like, preach it, Jason.
She is 17 years old, and like, she's just a songwriting dynamo. And you know, I think that no matter what she does musically, she's such a gifted writer that something like Yellow Flicker Beat, which I, like I said, it's a stopgap, it's a soundtrack song. It's going to probably be it'll probably be the only look that she gives us between now and her next album, realistically. So I think that, yeah, it is what it is, and always going to be interested in what Lorde does.
Yeah, I saw her headline not too long ago in New York, and what's really striking to me is how, as much as I like the album, since she only has one album to play with right now, she plays the whole thing track for track, and it's a pretty samey album all the way through with her vocal delivery, the structure of the songs, those hip-hop and R&B influenced beats that she sings over. So I'm watching her live, I'm wondering, where is she going to go next? She has to sort of change things up if she's going to, because the stakes are high for her. People, myself included, really are into her. And as far as her vocals go, she hasn't really changed much up yet. But the beat that she's working with on this song is much more up-tempo than anything that's on Pure Heroine. So I liked the progression there. But at times, it seems like her vocals, and maybe it's just a range thing, can't quite keep up with the beat on the song.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But let's listen to it. It's just Lorde, Yellow Flicker Beat. This is from the upcoming Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. Voices just burn, oh, I'm going in. This is the start of our lands. They used to shout my name. All right, that was Lorde. Next up, let's talk about Ice Age. So they have a new song out. It's called How Much.
How many, rather.
Yes, it is called that. Thank you. And why don't you talk about it, since you actually know what the name of it is.
Very, very qualified. Thank you. So, Ice Age, they're a Danish punk band, and their first two albums were very punk, very hardcore sounding. And those influences, well, the punk side, maybe not so much the hardcore in this new third album that's coming out on Matador next week, they're still there. But they've definitely changed things up, which I think they had to do to keep staying really interesting. I really liked the first song they dropped from this album. It was called The Lord's Favorite. It had kind of a weirdo country vibe. And that's not really evident on this song, How Many. But as I was saying, it's not as heavy and as blistering as the first couple albums, the first two albums they did are. But still, Elias the singer, his delivery is very, very intriguing. He's a really good-looking guy, and I think he kind of works that in the sexiness vibe, and you see it in the music videos, like, has that going in a kind of an interesting, off-kilter kind of way. And really, the other members of the band, the drumming in this track is also very interesting. There's time changes. The way they've progressed from just very straight-ahead punk is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I would say I've been, you know, despite not remembering the name of this song, I have been following them since their first album. I really like them. I guess surprised isn't the right word, but you know, they've definitely been making a move towards more accessible rock with this new album. In this case, of course, accessible just basically means more angular post-punk instead of just kind of like screamy hardcore influence stuff. So it's still like very much in the alternative realm. But the Sonic Assault is been toned down a bit. But it's still rough around the edges, and I think that's just kind of a great combination. And also, I appreciate that even though if they're kind of smoothing out a couple things, that they're still playing around with dissonance. Like, the piano chords in this are almost just playing against the song's melody, and anytime someone can successfully do that without it being totally irritating is impressive. But I'd be curious, I keep feeling like the more I hear of this new album, that his voice is becoming more like the Libertines.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was actually thinking that. He's just sort of like moan singing.
Yeah.
Into the microphone.
It's just, yeah. And like you said, like with the swagger, like it's kind of
it's
adopting
that.
Which is weird, but
yeah.
I guess, I mean, hey, the Libertines are fantastic. Yeah. I'm super excited for the possibility of a reunion album, whether it's a mess or not. And I'll go to the bat for Up the Bracket any day of the week.
Oh, man.
But let's listen to it. It's Ice Age, How Many? Before the fire will blow out, our restless wind did used to stir it, but its wind still had the silence is long. How many more days of disorder? All right, that was Ice Age, How Many? Next up, I wanted just to give a shout-out to my lady, Lucinda Williams. She's one of my longtime favorites. I think she is kind of just a genius and one of the few people in country rock who can really make one start-to-finish classic album year after another. And the song I wanted to draw some attention to premiered exclusively on Billboard a couple weeks ago. It's actually a J.J. Cale cover called Magnolia. It's a 9-minute track, and it's the last song on the album. And I think it's kind of crazy to end. This is, by the way, a double disc, nearly 2-hour-long album, and she ends it. She's, you know, people have already been with this album for an hour and a half, and she ends it with a 9-minute song. Anyone else would do that, I would think, like, what's wrong with you? Like
some Joanna Newsom-ish right there.
Yeah, like you're going to, like, people are just, interest is going to be lost. That's ridiculous. But somehow it works. I guess she's, you know, she's just been doing this long enough that when her band takes over a song, like, they can stretch out their chops on it. They don't really jam as much as they kind of just mull over these grooves. And I think because of that, because it never really punches you in the face, you can stick with it like for nearly 2 hours, or in this case, 9 minutes. So it's on Billboard right now. The full album is out. I think it's on iTunes for like $14, even though it's double. It's a great album. Lucinda Williams, Magnolia. Let's listen to it. All right, that That was Lucinda Williams' Magnolia. And next up, both Chris and Jason just saw a band in the office that they were both very impressed by. So
been
you're going to riff on it.
Yeah, bands come to our office. How about that?
Yeah, we are rather
just like
lucky.
A band was in the office, you know.
Oh, no big deal. So this band, Flay Facilities, they are from Australia. And they have an album coming out on October 27th. We heard most of it. They played many, many selections, and it all sounded really great. I mean, I've been a fan of this band for, you know, the past few months. They've been around, you know, overseas mostly before signing to Glassnote Records here. But you know, for fans of their songs like Stand Still, like Two Bodies, like. These are the whole album is just really solid. I love there's a song with Bishop Nehru who just put out a collaboration with MF Doom, and it definitely get like Disclosure vibes from these guys.
Ooh, I was gonna say Disclosure.
Yeah, they're very much like curators of this very groovy, mellow electronic music with various vocalists kind of guessing on each track. What did you think, C-Pain?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with curators there, because like Disclosure, I wouldn't say they're exactly breaking new ground with styles and electronic music, but they're borrowing from a lot of what I heard and getting to hear most of that album. And they do it all very well, and they pack it into however long the album is, 45, 60 minutes, and make it into this very digestible, enjoyable little summation of what can be really great with electronic music. And I also liked how they were describing how a lot of the tracks on the album are old singles.
Yeah.
So instead of just having one single after another, they wrote in these interludes and intros and outros that hearing the album all together really, really made it a good listen all the way through.
Yeah, and like I said, it was funny because they had these songs and they would play maybe like half of each song or something like that, and because some of the songs stretch to 8 or 9 minutes, but it's always a good thing where they play the first like 3 minutes and there's another 5 minutes and they're like, all right, we're gonna keep going on to the next track. And I was like, in my head, I was like, no, I actually really like this song, you can keep it going. that's always a good sign. So they put out a song called Two Bodies featuring Emma Louise, and yeah, let's listen to it, man.
That was Flight Facility featuring Emma Louise, and the name of the song was Two Bodies. All right.
We should play that Tom York track, the Not Enough Ice for My Drink. Speaking of song title, that's the best thing I've heard all day.
Yeah, there is no ice, parentheses, for my drink.
He is the Yorkiest of all Yorks.
We should just have a must-hear music podcast dedicated to funny song and album titles.
I would love that. Yeah. One of my favorites is Dolly Parton has an album called White Limousine, but limousine is spelled with a Z, which was because she did not know how to spell limousine and did not want to look it up in a dictionary.
That's great. Always like giving my I forget what's going to be my 2014 most hilarious album title. Last year was definitely French Montana, Excuse My French, which is just like, for some reason, hilarious to me. Before that, it was Krayshawn, Something About Cray.
Yes.
But anyway,
Chronicles of Marnia come out this year? Marnie Stern's album?
Oh, yeah. I kind of like that, though. That's like knowingly silly.
Yeah, it's knowingly.
Yeah, while I clown on British rock music icons, or UK rock music icons, I should say, the new U2 album has some doozies on it. We have, there's Sleep Like a Baby Tonight is a good one.
Yeah.
Song for Someone, Iris, and then parentheses, Hold Me Close, like some Goo Goo Dolls vibes there.
What about
The Miracle of Joey Ramone, the lead single, where it has like Bono's silhouette on the new commercials with like Joey Ramone.
Well, what about California? Reason. Parentheses, there is no end to love. Good
it's just like take a profound word and then have parentheses and say a profound phrase after it.
There needs to be like a U2 song generator. That would be someone who's on the internet.
It's like
can do
my
things.
Life. Parentheses, when will it end? Like stuff like that.
You did it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have anything else, Joe?
That's it. Those are the tunes. We're just goofing around. I should have popped in earlier and said, by the way, you can stop listening right now because we're done talking about music. But thank you, Chris and Jason, for joining me. And that is this week's Must Hear Music podcast. As always, if you have any recommendations of artists or songs, by all means, tweet them at us. And we'll talk to you next week.